The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show. Radio. It's episode 497. This episode is with Professor Broman. I had a conversation with him when he was here in New York. It was great times. Great times. Great conversation. He talks about King's Coast Coffee, streaming, and all the wonderful things that you can get from Professor Broman. So it was a great conversation. So guys, definitely check that out and enjoy that. Also, you can find me on streamerlinks.com/Uriah. All my links are there. streamerlinks.com/Uriah. You find all my links there. Professor Broman, thanks for taking the time to speak to me. I really enjoyed that. You're my mentor from afar. Thank you so much. Guys, enjoy.
Man.
Yeah, man, let's do whatever we want to do.
This is exciting. Okay, so Professor Broman, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
You are here.
I am here on Long Island.
On Long Island.
On, not
okay,
in.
Okay, so why not in? Why not in?
Because I've been told by everyone who lives here that it's you're on Long Island because when you leave, you get off Long Island.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
But other than that, I really don't know the entomology of the word.
Right.
Or choice other than Seinfeld jokes.
Right. No, I'm just so excited to be here with you, man. I don't know either.
Oh, okay.
I'm just excited to be here with you.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to share this conversation with my community. And Broman, you've been here. You did the meeting yesterday, the meet and greet
yes,
at Micro Center.
I was at Micro Center yesterday.
Right.
It was a good time. And then right now we're at the King's Coast Coffee Company because we're doing our soft open for the tasting room.
Absolutely.
Which is really exciting. This is the first time I've been in New York that wasn't a trip. For like a show,
right.
Where I was here for like 24 hours and fly in, do something, and then fly out.
Right.
It feels good.
I thought you lived here.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live in Tampa, Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's the thing about, you know, like as much as I feel like I talk about where I live and like what I do, it's
right.
really easy, especially now that we have King's Coast and last year I did a lot of really big high value moments. Like I came here for the Shorty Awards. I was on Gary Vee's podcast.
Right.
And like those few things were all really close together in April. And so if you paid attention to my highlights of last year, you'd be like, oh, well, this guy lives in New York.
Right.
Because
he's always
everything
here
in New York.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
So I had a lot of people actually last April, like the months following, they're like, yo, bro, man, I'm going to be at like this bar in New York. You want
right.
to come hang out? I'm like,
right.
No? Why? I live in Tampa. You want to come to Tampa? They're like, what the fuck you mean you live in Tampa?
Right.
Yeah, so like, you know, that was sort of my last year, and it was – it's awesome to have King's Coast here because, you know, Wayne and –
You'd rather travel?
Wayne, Kevin. Well, I think that one of the things that's incredibly important to me is like I really just want to make people's lives better. I want people happy. I want to make people smile.
Right.
And you know I can do that through streaming really easily. And then that sort of extended into the work we do with Guardian Con and raising money for St. Jude. And now you know we started this coffee company both out of like you know the necessity of having to be diverse. Right. I don't want to be in a place where it's like I have all my money's in one basket. That's terrifying,
thing.
You
right.
know, because
right.
I've seen, we've all seen things like the adpocalypse on YouTube.
Right.
And, or even recently, like, demonetizing family channels because of all the crazy stuff that was happening, you know, with kids and comments and predators and things like that. So it does, like, one algorithm change can really screw up your whole life. And so, to me, to sort of insulate myself and my family, you know, we took those ideals that we have of, you know, making people happy, making the world a better place, and sort of the network that we had of people when we built this company. And it just so happens that, you know, Pete and Wayne and Kevin are all from Long Island.
Right.
And one of the reasons we started here was Pete and Wayne were like, there's not really a great coffee roaster here on the island because or they're like really small and they have no desire to grow or no desire to distribute. So we started the company here because we were going to ship online, which means we could have been in, you know, Antarctica.
Right.
Like, so we could be based anywhere we wanted. But we chose Long Island because that's where three of our owners are from. And they wanted to build value in their community. So we're building, you know, around the world, you know, we shop from the best farms we can find. We obviously pay, we actually work with importers that pay more than fair trade value on a lot of the stuff we get. And we work with really small lots. So on the, we just sort of discovered as we dug into the coffee company, it's so easy to build value from the starting point of the farmers. Like, my favorite roast. Sorry if I'm talking.
No. This is why we're here. I want to hear you talk. I don't need
sure,
to say
that's
anything.
Great. One of my favorite stories is we buy from a couple of farms that are 98% female owned and operated. And they're in, you know, conflict regions where there's a lot of, you know, drug crime and trafficking, you know, human trafficking, just lots of like really scary shit. And, you know, coffee and working with them is providing them safety. It's providing education, you know, to people who are
like sense of purpose
and,
right.
And a direction, a business direction, because, you know, you can try and live your life best you can. But if you don't have a way to make money, it's really hard to keep yourself safe if you're living on the street. So, you know, we're taking and working with these farms where people are in regions that are traditionally really unsafe because right now there's upheaval, there's economic unrest, or there's crime. And we're helping work with them, you know, to financially enable them to build a safer space, which is going to help lift everybody there out of, you know, out of poverty and educate people. You know, the cool thing about working with the farms that are, you know, owned and operated by farmers is that, you know, they decide how they're going to spend their money. And, you know, you see these people turn around and they're spending their money on hospitals and they're spending their money on schools. And they know what they need culturally, right?
Right, absolutely.
You know, one of the things I studied in college that I don't talk about a lot was intercultural communication. And one of the big issues, especially like as Americans, when we go internationally, it's the way we think is right. So the point A, point B, like the logicians, you know, shortest path is the right path. But like you go to different countries, you go to a place like Africa where everything's very culturally considered and societally considered and considered in community. So you can't make a change in one place because you need to get the input of everybody. And we saw we studied a lot in college. There's a lot of well building efforts that happen,
right.
And what they found is like
Reference
in some
the promise and
yeah,
all those other
some,
companies
yeah,
doing
and
those
so
things
in,
right.
In some situations, they would build these wells in the middle of town because logically. As an American, you're like, oh, I'm giving these people their time back. But there was so much happening socially as, you know, the people who would go gather water every day, like that was their time away from everyone else. So this
right.
is like this, the walk to get
right.
the water was
high
where,
heat, high noon.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. It was. And all of that happening was part of like that was socialization. You know, if people had conflicts, the mediation would happen when they were walking. And so when you took that out of the equation, you have this well that's sitting in the middle of the town that no one's using.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's so important, and that's why I like working with farmers the way that we do. So they know what they need to do with the money. And it's just another way, you know, with St. Jude, it's giving money directly, and the hospital knows what it needs to do to cure
Absolutely.
Cancer. And when you're working, I feel, obviously, this is, you know, my standpoint,
yeah,
but
yeah.
when you're working with regions and you're empowering business owners, right, to make the changes around them financially, you invest in the people who are making the right investments and then you're not like they're trying to control the situation. Like if you're running a charity, you're like, oh, well, we need to build X amount of wells this year to meet our goal.
Right.
Whereas if it's you driving money, you know, internationally, into a business by purchasing their, you know, their agricultural products and stuff like that, you're empowering them to make the choices they see as most necessary.
Right, right.
And I think that's...
And there's a drive for them to
yeah.
want to...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it's not, you know... It just... It makes more sense. Like, I wouldn't want someone telling me how to spend my money. So, I'm really happy that, as a coffee company, we get to work with people and let folks make their own decisions.
Absolutely.
That's sort of like the intercultural side and the charity side. Like that's really one part of the coffee business that I love is this ability to work with people who are trying to, you know, get out of a terrible situation, or work with people that are that have been doing this as a trade forever.
Right.
And
it's refreshing. It's,
yeah.
The new individuals coming into the scene. You guys are fairly new. Is it 2-3 years? Is it more?
Well, year and a half.
It's a year and a half.
So in a year and a half ago, we were in a garage. And we had a roasting partner. We didn't have our own roaster. We still did roast to order, which the roaster loved because they were like, oh, this is great. We get a random order every like 3 days from these people.
Right.
And now we're here. We're in the tasting room that we just opened. You know, we have our own 25-pound roaster back there.
Right, I saw the stream early. I was watching before I came here.
25-pound roaster back there. And we have we have a tasting room where there's just people in here trying our coffee. It's really cool. And we're in Whole Foods, which is absolutely insane.
Right. And you mentioned Lake Grove is going to be a thing.
Lake Grove is coming soon.
North Carolina is going to be a thing.
We're talking to some managers in North Carolina. We're also we've talked to managers in a few different places around the states.
Right.
And
what about Publix near you?
I don't know. We're in Whole Foods right now. I mean, like, I would love to be in every store, but honestly, if someone were to flip that switch tomorrow, our whole supply chain would explode. So,
right. So a little bit of time.
It's really nice because as we grow, it's important. This was the other thing I was going to say is that I live my world is technology. Like, I stream. I'm very insulated. And one of the things, one of the things I learned doing this is we have now we're involved in agriculture, and that is so like that is fundamental to human life.
Right.
And so within the first year, there was a gigantic volcano eruption that washed out a whole bunch of crops in a region that we sourced from. And I was like, So we can't buy it? And of course we can't buy it.
Right.
We're like, of course we can't buy it, shithead. It's gone.
It's gone.
So it's really it's really personally it's connected me more to like what's going on environmentally. And I feel more keyed in and I care a lot more.
Do you feel like you're learning more because of that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
well, like I didn't wake up and wonder, or if I saw on the news like, oh, there's a hurricane in this region or a typhoon, I would wake up and be like, man, that fucking sucks. And then like now I have, I guess, even more empathy because I'm like, oh shit, like I know what parts of people's lives that's ruining. Like, you know, if that typhoon goes over here, it's gonna wipe out crops for everybody for a long time. And like I understood that like intellectually before. Like I get it. They read damage numbers on the news. But, you know, when we have farmers that we work with that, like, suddenly don't have product to sell that makes their livelihood because of, like, a natural disaster or a drought or whatever, like, it feels different.
Right.
And it makes me want to do more about it.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. That's a lot of stuff. Okay, so I'm going to let that simmer.
Sure.
Okay, because we can easily go into that a little bit more.
I can talk about that forever.
You're really passionate about that, mm-hmm. and you're passionate about streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're passionate about a lot of different things, especially with the recent 39-minute piece that you did about streaming and what direction you should go, how you should start. Yeah.
So
I listened to that.
Okay.
Right? I loved it. To some individuals, it could be discouraging, depending on which way they want to pivot, because you're honest about it. So if someone is Twitch affiliate now, you basically would say continue that route if you love it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think that if you are if you've gotten your affiliate status on Twitch, there's absolutely success stories that have come out of that.
Right.
Which is counter to my intuition, by the way. Like when I first heard about it, I was like, this is going to be the biggest deceleration driver on Twitch I could ever imagine, because you know the partnership requirements have changed a lot, and partnerships stored and this is not me shitting on anyone who's getting partnered or affiliated. It's that I saw the way that the economy of attention and viewership on Twitch worked for a long time. And it was cool to see people get partnered because it was a really special event. And it was a catapult that sort of set them off on their first month really well. And since they've changed those requirements, that moment isn't as present anymore. It's still awesome, and everybody's community still celebrate. I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
Right.
What I'm saying is that the intensity of that, the value is different. Whether that's good or bad is now debatable. But, you know, so affiliate stuff came out, and when it launched it really altered the landscape of Twitch a lot. And you know, I made assumptions about how that was going to affect things, and as I always do, like, I'll have my intuition, then I'll go get data to find out what's actually going on.
Right.
So OPG, my management company, I asked them. I said, so what's going on with affiliates? Like is this really what all the partners are saying? Like, is this gutting Twitch's middle class? Like, what is happening here? And they're like, well, you know, it's the spread on it from people who are moving from affiliate into partner is really similar to the sort of flow of normal users in a partnership before. They just sort of have a more, instead of this growth where it's just instantaneous, they have a more like a curved experience growing up.
Yeah.
And so once I learned that, it made me realize, so your approach when you get affiliate or partner now needs to be figuring out what got you there and
right.
then what sort of evolutions you need to make to continue to draw in more attention.
Exactly.
Whether that's,
and that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So right. And so whether that's retargeting your schedule, changing up game selection that you do. I mentioned this last night at Micro Center, but what I said was, you know, you when you're growing, there is a few things you can do to position yourself from points of maximum opportunity, and you always need to sort of play games that you really like.
Right.
But your viewers also have to like it too.
Right.
We're lucky that there's millions of games. So if you play something that you like and your viewers hate it,
right.
don't play it. And, right. But also, if you play something you really love and your viewers hate it, play it if you really feel like you have to. But
right.
there's going to be something out there that isn't whatever's dragging you down
right,
that you're
right.
both going to enjoy. And sometimes it takes a while to find that. Sometimes it'll surprise you. My community really likes to watch me play Mortal Kombat,
right.
which I was surprised by. I don't ever stream fighting games, but they were like, this is
no.
bad. He's getting fucking ruined.
Right.
You know, so eventually you might find the synergy of that in some strange places that are like new and refreshing for you. You just have to be dedicated to this you know, process of growing and evolving.
Okay, so know? Before we get out of here, in
yeah.
the interest of time.
Sure.
Okay, any rant that you've been wanting to mention in any way, shape, or form that you want to share with the world that they may have overlooked? Since you're a bro man, they'll listen to you because uh-huh. you have so much experience, you've done uh-huh. so much.
Oh, sure.
Give us a quick rant and then we'll get out of here.
Okay, sure. So I guess one of the things that I communicate a lot and I think it gets missed is I started with nothing. And I understand that every single one of us are born with distinct advantages or disadvantages. And I get that. And a lot of people will let wherever their starting line is placed define their entire life. And I get it. Like I've lived my whole life. I realize I'm lucky, like the way, you know, everything from I was born, you know, a white middle-class male in middle America. So like I got to start the game on the field, and I realize some people are in the stands and some people are fucking in the parking lot across the street when it comes to like the game of life. And we all start at different points, but throughout my life, I've had the absolute joy of meeting people from every sort of different starting point that have found success. Some of them even greater success than I have had. And it's because they never let that starting point be like a definition of who they are. It was like, this is where I come from, and that is empowering to me, you know. So for me, and I think it came out a lot in our conversations today, for me, a lot of what I want to do is I really believe in, through all my businesses and everything that we do, in driving equity back into the people who don't get to be on the field when they start because they were born in a third world country and all they can do is grow coffee. Like, that's what they have. So I want so much, because I know what it's like when you get a shot, and I want to give everyone a chance that they can. And I know other people that were like, you know, I was born in, you know, my college roommate, who's an amazing guy, he was born to, you know, single mom in the hood in St. Louis. You know, he and his brothers were not afforded a lot of opportunity, but they fought through all that. And now, you know, he has gotten every single fucking tech certification I've ever seen in my life, and he's worked at aerospace companies like Boeing, and he never let that stop him. You know, so I am incredibly passionate about everybody getting their shot. And so for me, I realized that people will look at someone in my position and they'll say, like, I need this person to give me that shot. So from that standpoint, what I want people to understand is I am trying right now. That's why I do the podcast. That's why I do everything, to give everyone I fucking can a chance. Because I realize when you're on the inside, you're the gatekeeper. And I don't ever want to be somebody shutting a door on someone else. So that's what I'm doing right now. But for everybody who's not in the game, if you're out there, if you're listening to this and you're not in the game yet, if you have all these, you know, if you have a set of disadvantages, whether you know you have a disability or you've been born into poverty or you're single parents or you're homeless or whatever, if you somehow find this, realize that like that moment, like where you are right now, is a strength. It is a moment of power for you, you know, because you'll get to say, like the first guest I ever had on my Ask Roman podcast was a streamer named Big Cheese KIT. And the reason I had him on was he told me, you know, one day in a conversation that he was homeless 4 years ago. And I needed to know, mm-hmm. like, how did you go from being homeless to, you know, streaming and being a partner? And he got on Tosh.0 and like all this other stuff. And I was like, how did you fucking do that? And so it's because he didn't give up. And he realized, like, you know, the point where he was at was a great part of the story that he is going to get to tell through, like, all the way through his future. And so I like to think, no matter where you're at, if you look at your starting line as the beginning of your story and think about where you want to go and how wonderful it's going to be to tell that story 5 years from now, you know, I started out, I was homeless. Or I started out, my parents were addicted to drugs. Or I started out, whatever it fucking is. Because once you make it out of that situation, once you get wherever you want to go in life, your story is empowering to other people. So, you know, for me, I have intellectual disabilities. It's hard for me to read. I did really bad in school. You know, I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with, from, you know, like 18 to 26, I was, you know, worked dead-end minimum wage jobs and sold my blood plasma so I could eat food. And now I'm here, and we're having this conversation. Absolutely. And people are looking at me, somebody...
You're inspiring, man.
Somebody 7 years ago who no one fucking cared about anything, I thought about anything. And, like, the one thing I desperately wanted was a platform for people to listen to me on. And so to go from that to this is... It's empowering to me. It's really inspiring to me. And I like to share that story because I know someone out there listening is going through the exact same fucking thing. So if you're out there and you're going through any of the shit that I mentioned, whether it was my life or my roommate's life or Big Cheese's life or like whoever, understand that your starting point doesn't define where you have to finish. You're in charge of that. And keep focused on your endpoint because that's the part you can control. You know, none of us asked to be born ever. We are all just exist one day. And that's the hand that we're dealt. But what we do with it after that is up to us.
Awesome. Bro, man, thank you so much, man. You're inspiring me, man. Thank you for your time and thank you for sharing that with my community.
Thank you. Thank you for watching and listening and however this gets distributed. I'm sure this man does all of it. Bye, everybody.